Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to the Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Posbjorg, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And tonight our topic is Experiencing Networking Fatigue, How to Keep Your Energy Up and Get Results. And our guest tonight is networking guru and fun guy, Greg Peters. Greg is the original reluctant networker. After building and maintaining a thriving web development business, using only the networking skills he developed on his own over time, Greg, a computer programmer by training, really knew what it took to learn to be a successful networker. And he knew how difficult it could be for those who were not naturals at this business skill. He started his much-acclaimed blog, The Reluctant Networker, and began sharing what he knows with the rest of us. A sought-after speaker and weekly columnist for AnnArbor.com, the area's combination online and print major news medium, we are privileged to have him here tonight. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for joining us. So talk to us a little bit more about your background and why you've chosen to learn so much about networking.
Well, honestly, it's funny you talk about a natural networker, and that's exactly what I was not. I was a computer programmer by training. We are not taught to be particularly outgoing. So when I started my own business, I discovered that I actually had to get out there in order to make the phone ring. And I still remember my first networking event. It was a lunchtime chamber event. And I showed up there, and I was completely out of my depth. I felt like a teenager walking into his first junior high school dance. Everyone was obviously comfortable with each other. They were all chit-chatting, and I just grabbed my lunch, headed for the corner table, and waited for it to end. So I have a special sympathy for any of us with this sort of technical analytical mind who suddenly finds themselves having to go into these social situations. And so I decided that, you know what, I'm going to see if I can make it so not as many people have to go through that painful step that I did.
So I know that, certainly, working with IT people and engineers and just introverts in general. It's tough for them. It's really tough for them. Painful, even.
Yes,
pretty
much so.
Like to avoid it.
If all these skills are learnable. Networking is a learnable skill. So if I can pick this up, anybody can pick this up.
So what made you decide to go in this direction? I know you had, you know, a successful, thriving computer programmer, web development business path going on. What changed for you?
I've been doing web programming for 20 years. And, you know, anytime you've done something over 20 years, you're pretty good at it. But it wasn't really reaching my heart anymore. And I discovered after speaking with some coaches and such that one of the things which is nearest and dearest to my heart is teaching. I love to teach almost anything, really. and I discovered that through teaching martial arts. And my old business, the teaching aspects of it were very limited. I was basically, you know, teaching people about the technology, but after that there wasn't anything left to that. So this venue of teaching about networking, you know, how I grew my business, it was so much more fulfilling because, I don't know, helping someone arrive at that aha moment to realize that they've actually got the power to do this within them, it's so amazingly wonderful, I guess, just to be able to help them get to that point.
Yeah, I can hear in your voice. That's really rewarding for you.
And so, you know, I having come from where I did, I knew that I could actually help them because you know, like I said, it's these are skills that can be picked up. You don't have to be a rampant extrovert to be a great networker. And this was an area that I felt comfortable with. I had had a number of different people say, "Well, Greg, why aren't you teaching this stuff? You know, why can't you get out there and do that?" And I had to think about it for a while, but you know, I think this is, in a way, it's a bit of a calling for me.
Did you have people try to talk you out of it?
You know, no.
Okay.
Maybe they should have. I don't know, but no, they were all. Everyone I talked to has been very encouraging about this. You know, I started the business about 2 years ago, and they were, you know, oh my gosh, Greg, yes, this is something you should have been doing all along. So,
okay. Well, I think you have people that know you well then, because it would seem to me that many people would get, you know, why don't you stick with this tried and true marketable skill instead of, you know, going in this. I don't know, some people would say softer direction.
Yeah, I mean, I could, there's definitely that sort of, not only the softer direction, but also just the fact that you're starting up a new business.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you're starting up a new business, there is that, you know, it takes time. You don't
right.
just hit the ground running, you have to build it. So that's why actually the old business never really has died yet. It's just slowing down and as I ramp up the new one. So.
So that helps the comfort level for your in-laws?
Yes, very much so.
Good. Well, you know, as you're describing your story, I hadn't heard that part of it. It sounds like exactly the reason that I started my strategic career redesign, that program that I trademarked, because people kept coming to me, and this is before the economy went into tailspin. It was the economy was fine. Kept coming to me and saying, you know, really smart, talented people, and they kept coming to me and saying, Lisa, you know, I'm good at what I do. I've been doing it for a long time. It's not horrible. But, you know, I don't know if I want to do exactly the same thing for the next 12 years or 15 years. It just
right.
doesn't make me excited anymore. So I would spend a lot of time working with them to figure out, you know, what gets them in the zone, what makes them sing, what, you know, really energizes them. And how to put more of that into their work. And sometimes it was a total career change, like, well, it's not a total career change for you, it's a different direction, but certainly a total new business. But, you know, sometimes it could be revamping what they were doing in a pretty dramatic way. And it's surprising what you think you can't do, but you have more control over than you think you do with your even current work situation often. But, you know,
certainly.
You would have been the poster boy for that, to figure out what is your calling versus, you know, what can you do and do well and it's not bad, you know. And you
well, and one of the things my wife and I were talking about just this the other day, and I had just finished giving a presentation to the chamber about good networking practice, and I was comparing it to completing some projects under my old business. In my old business, I would finish the project and say, "There, I'm done."
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I finished this talk. I thought, there, I'm done. Now, what am I going to do next time?
Mm-hmm.
It was that sort of level of excitement about, okay, that's, you know, what's next? How can I help the next person?
Yeah.
So.
Great. That's great. To get that in your life is so valuable. And some people never have that. That's tremendous. So our topic, this networking fatigue, intrigued me. Because when I heard it, I thought, oh, I know so many people that will resonate with that. So when you're calling it networking fatigue, what is it you're describing? Can you tell us what networking fatigue is to you?
Well, for a lot of people, they are doing what they believe to be networking. They're out all the time. They're doing all this effort to network, and they aren't seeing any results. And they're just, I mean, it's discouraging. I mean, anytime you're, you know, continually putting forth all this effort and getting nothing out of it, there's sort of begins to be this buildup of resistance to it, the desire just not to do it anymore, the inability to see even the value in it, and sort of that's kind of the all the symptoms of networking fatigue that I'm talking about. And as a result, you do start slowing down your efforts and making excuses and not showing up at the lunches and not doing what you need to do in order to build that powerful network.
Or even showing up and then, you know, just kind of sitting there.
Being very passive about it, yes.
Right, not really reaching out to people. I've certainly gone to some networking events where people just sit and eat their food.
Yeah.
And I introduce myself to them. And, you know, I have to work really hard to get any information out of them. It never occurs to them that they should be asking questions, too. You know, and they're just busy with their scrambled eggs. It's funny.
Yeah. No, it's very, that does happen. That happens a lot. And, you know, I think part of it is sort of a mindset thing. Mm-hmm. People think going to the networking events is networking.
Right.
But that's like saying doing push-ups is physical fitness.
Right.
It's a small piece of it. But the important aspect of networking isn't going to the events. It's developing the connections. You don't need to go to that many events to develop a powerful network. And so when they say, you know, they're doing all this networking, what they're really saying is they're showing up at the events and they're failing in the area that most people fail in with networking.
Mm-hmm.
It's the follow-up.
Yeah.
It's the actual reaching out and developing that connection. And I tell people,
so,
if you look at your friendships, your very best friendships, the people you would trust, you'd hand over the keys to your car willingly to these people. You didn't build those kind of relationships 5 minutes at a time, once a month, with the occasional conversation about the weather. I mean, you have to actually follow up. You have to get together with each other. You have to find out who you are as people, not as some other position. So what a lot of people need to do to avoid that fatigue is to scale back on showing up at all those events and spend more time just calling up people they know and like on the phone and touching base with them.
Now, how does that fit with, I'm just going to be a little bit of a devil's advocate here, the Y generation? They don't use phones anymore, except for texting.
Well, when I say pick up the phone.
You know, they look at you like you have three heads. If you say, why don't you just call them? Oh, no, I don't want to call them. You know, it's like calling is old school.
Well, I mean, we sometimes have, you know, there's a reason it's old school. It's because it's some of the foundations. Face-to-face meeting is still vitally important. I just heard some statistics recently. I'm going to get the actual numbers wrong. A lot of people confuse this study that was done some time back about the percentages of information which are conveyed by your words versus your tone versus your body language.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out the study was actually not about communication, but about likability,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of what good networking is all about.
Mm-hmm.
If all you're doing is texting each other or being on Facebook with each other, your likability is you know, the 7% that is based upon the words you use. And you need to actually have a connection which is more human. There has to be the tonality of the voice. There has to be the body language. You have to be able to see each other. It's very difficult for us to connect through the written word on a significant personal level.
Well, especially, and I agree with you entirely, and I've seen that research. It's pretty striking. And especially when you're talking about doing a big project with somebody, collaborating with them on something that costs, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Certainly.
You know,
or
if you're going to buy a small purse,
talk about one of the powers of networking is the referral.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons we do networking is it's not just to meet someone else, but to meet them, to get them, have them get to know us and be willing to refer us to the 250 people on average that they know. But no one's going to lend you their reputation, which is effectively what a referral is.
Sure.
if they don't know you well enough. Because, yeah, it can be, I mean, yeah, it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars, or it could be their good name.
Right.
You know, and which is worth more?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's the good name, their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would call it your brand as well. What you stand for. Absolutely. That's so valuable, and you want to be careful with that. I'm smiling because it's not uncommon for me to have people contact me and tell me that they'd be perfect for my show. Almost invariably, they're not. you know, there's some sole proprietor selling some kind of odd health claim product or something. But it's funny. And they can be very persistent, and even though I talk to them, I try to be really gracious about my audience of leaders and who listens to the show and the target and all of that. And they still often insist that they just be perfect. And leaders.
Well, and the funny thing is now, you know, we talk about networking and the power of referral. If one of your close friends calls you and says, you should talk to Bob Smith, I think he'd be a great fit for your show.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to give Bob Smith a little bit more weight, even if he ends up not being great in the long run. But you know, you'd listen with a more open ear than if Bob Smith called you up directly.
Absolutely. And I'd be happy to talk to Bob Smith and try to point him in a closer direction to what he needs.
Right.
If that came through a referral, sure. Absolutely. So true. So what
and that's why we
most,
need to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What are some of the most common networking blunders?
Oh,
lots of mistakes.
Well, let's see.
What are the ones that stick out as most frequent?
You know what? If I'm going to pick one specific one, mm-hmm. and I've seen this time and again, it's the lack of follow up. Mm-hmm. People showing up at events and getting cards and not doing anything with them. In fact, I would almost say that if you're not going to follow up from an event, don't bother showing up. Don't waste your time. You can't develop strong relationships just chatting with someone for 5 minutes. You've got to meet with them outside, which means you have to follow up. And what I recommend is to follow up while you're still standing in front of them.
So
everybody,
what do you
they
mean,
get the,
what do you,
you know, they take
that?
Their cards back to their office, and then they put the card on the desk saying, I'm going to follow up with them. Mm-hmm. And that card is still sitting on the desk a week later, a month later. But it's so much better. Why not? If you hit it off with someone, after chatting with 5 minutes, you want to continue the conversation, almost everyone these days carries their schedule with them.
Ah.
We've got this marvelous technology, or people have day planners or whatever. Pull it out, schedule your next gathering, your coffee or your lunch, while you're still standing there. It will save you so much time. It will save you a lot of stress over seeing those cards piling up on your desk. You won't feel guilty because you won't have missed out on that opportunity. Just do it. I mean, my wife actually did a little bit of time testing on this one. She had gone to one of the local events here, and she came back with a series of cards, and she tried contacting these people to see whether she could set up a coffee. It took her close to an hour to set up a single maybe coffee.
Sure.
How long would it have taken?
All the back and forth. When
all the back and
free?
Forth thing. Exactly.
Where's a good location?
Why?
Yeah.
How long does it take when you both have your schedules in hand to schedule something? 5 minutes? Now, this is part of the networking fatigue also, is that feeling that you're spending so much time. Save the time where you can. Follow up while you're still in their presence.
Now, the trick
save you so much
thing,
time.
I get you. And the trick with that would be to have a really good antenna for who wants to do that. You know, that
sure.
you really have a good connection versus you're trying to shove yourself down their throat. Because if you say to somebody that's really not interested and they're just being polite, you know, let's schedule a date, you're either going to get rejected or they'll go through the motions of scheduling a date and then canceling it with you.
Well, yeah, that can happen. But that's why I tend to tell people when you are at a networking event, the goal really is to determine whether you like each other. Mm-hmm. At the very basis of any good relationship, you at least have to have high regard. Mm-hmm. And so work on that first. If you don't have a good feeling about them, then there's no point in trying to follow up the conversation. Just say, hey, it was great chatting with you. Maybe we'll catch up at some later point. Mm-hmm. And, yes, there are going to be people that say, you know what, I don't have my schedule with me. You know, they'll make the excuse, and that's okay, too. I don't know exactly where I'm going to be. I don't do scheduling right now. But for the most part, people know whether they're hitting it off together, whether the conversation, if you have been asking questions about them, then you're going to have a pretty good feeling for whether or not you're, you know, simpatico.
Right.
And yes, every once in a while you are going to get rejected. I'm sorry, that's the way it goes sometimes. But for the most part, people are at those events to make connections anyway. So.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Use your smartphone. Use your planner. Yeah.
Use the technology you have available to you.
And
if you have to follow
a little
up,
bit and actually invite somebody in person instead of via email.
You know, and it's funny the number of people because I do. That's when I try and schedule. I usually try to call up people on the phone to actually do the scheduling. It's just so much faster. But people are shocked when I do that.
Right.
Wow, what an amazing thing. You're calling me up. Yeah, well, yes. I want to save us both some time. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's not going to work out, you just I've had people when I call up say, you know what, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like for the next 2 weeks. Can we try some other time? And that's usually pretty good signal that they're not really in the networking frame of mind. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, because you know what, I'm going to go to a networking event next week and I'll meet other people. You know, it's not vital that you necessarily connect with any specific person. It's vital that you connect with other people.
Right. Right. And there's a sorting that goes on of people that you connect with, that
mm-hmm.
you're comfortable with, that they're comfortable with you, that, you know, when you find the right people, then they introduce you to people that you're also likely to like and want to work with and want to spend time with.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
So that's a big one, the lack of follow-up.
Yes.
Many cards stacked up.
And I tell people, if you do get those cards, there's an expiration date on those.
Well, yeah.
I have what I call the two-minute rule. For every 2 minutes you spoke with them, you have about a day to follow up. And I actually, when I come home, I will actually write on the back of it approximately when I think the expiration date is. And if you know what? If it goes past that expiration date, I put it in the garbage. We didn't connect, and it's okay. We may connect to the next one. But if you go past that expiration date, you're effectively making a cold call.
Right.
They don't know you. They don't remember you.
They don't even remember you, yeah.
So, you know, why put yourself under all that stress? I think, you know, if people have a stack of cards on their desks, they're probably best off just picking them up and throwing them in the garbage and starting over again, because they're largely useless to you at that point, other than just to show that you went to the event, but not necessarily that you did anything with it.
So what's the best cure for networking fatigue?
Personally, I think it's maintaining your focus. Know who you're trying to reach, and so only attend those events which are going to help you try to reach that, help you achieve that, whatever you're trying to achieve with networking. And have the focus being on developing connections, not getting clients or getting contracts or anything like that, because it's the development of the powerful network which brings in whatever you're trying to achieve, whether it's clients or clients or contracts. They're sort of it's a byproduct. So if you aren't trying to sell yourself, but you're trying to reach out to others, and you're trying to reach out in a relatively limited pattern, so don't spend all your time going to those events. You know, make the calls to do the coffees or the lunches. You know, that's a lot more fun if you're focusing on making friends.
Yeah, yeah. What's the the one thing that people need to know about this that nobody seems to be talking about?
You know, on a larger scale, the one thing that nobody's talking about is, especially amongst the entrepreneur set, we have this viewpoint of the lone wolf mentality. We think we can do everything by ourselves. The problem is it's a falsehood. It's a fiction. The limits of what we can achieve are almost directly proportional to the power of our connections. If you look at the greatest achievers in the past, it's because they've had a tremendous support behind them. Oh, sure, they can lead a movement, but if there's no one following them, they're just some guy walking down the street.
Right.
So I think that's the underlying thing, is to realize that what we're actually building here is a tool that is going to be the support to create a life of success and significance. And that's what we need to focus on.
You know, I think you're absolutely right. And I think underneath that as well, for me anyway, it has to be about service. It can't be about, you know, how can I get you to be a tool to help me be successful? It's really got
poorly chosen, but yes, I agree.
No, I'm not criticizing your language. I think it is a tool, and ultimately, that's how people that are extremely successful and leaders become that, because they're persuasive, they're inspiring, and people like them, and people want to follow them. And I'm sure you've been in environments where people will just work their hearts out for their boss because he or she is such a great person that they they want to do it for them. They may have less enthusiasm about the company or senior management if they're not in a senior role, but it's for the individual and their connection with that individual. But I think that when you talked earlier about calling, that idea of that there's a larger reason why you're doing this stuff, and it doesn't have to do with just money or just what can I get from people. I think that shows through for people.
Sure, definitely.
So we're almost out of time. My almost last question for you is, when are you going to write a book?
I'm actually in the process of writing a workbook right now, so people can help get through some of these details, and I'm kind of assembling the content for an actual, book.
Right.
Hopefully in the next year or two.
This sounds like a book to me. And if you weren't, I was going to nudge you to do it. I think it's just waiting to be written, and you're the guy to do it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. So, how can people get more information now? I mentioned your blog really quickly in the beginning in the intro. How do they get your blog, et cetera?
Sort of the center, I guess, would be my website. It's www.thereluctantnetworker.com. And pretty much everything that I do is connected through that. So.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you, Greg.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You're welcome. And thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus, the show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and if you have, go to blogtalk.com and become a friend and make us a favorite. To sign up for our free newsletter with more tips and strategies you can use, go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Again, that's focusedcoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjork, urging you to be a better leader every day.